wonder sometimes when we sing the songs that we sing, if we think about what we're singing, that song the choir sang, or that we sang first and then the choir sang, that chorus, it's a wonderful, wonderful thought. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. It calls it in that song, wondrous power. Imagine how much power there must be in God. There's a wondrous power. It's amazing power. It's divine power. And it's a vastness, and there's a strength in that power that is even able to subdue my inner being and flow through me, that wondrous power flow through me and then out of me, that song says, that I might be then a channel for Him. There was many years ago, and I don't know where this was, it was in the United States, but a lady, older woman living by herself, and just around the time when electricity was being hooked up, where people were getting it into their houses and lines were being run, and this wasn't in Amish country in Pennsylvania, this was somewhere else, and before that time it was, I guess, kerosene or propane, kerosene I think it was in her case. And that's how she would light her home and light the lanterns and get to see around at night time. And then they hooked up the grid and hooked up the electricity, and she got a power line to her house. And after some time went on, the electric company, I guess, were assessing how this was working and who was using and how much. And they noticed that in her particular home, her electricity usage was very, very small, minimal. And they wondered about that. In comparison, you get that on your bill, I guess maybe you do where you live, I don't know, Con Ed puts on your bill your usage in comparison to others around you or in your neighborhood, and you can see how far off you are or how far under, hopefully, you are. But she didn't get that on her bill, but she got a very small bill, and they wondered what's going on here, what's she doing? And so they went out to see her, and they said, we noticed that there's a strange thing going on here. You hardly use any electricity, and we're wondering about that, and could you tell us, do you use it? Is it working? Yeah, it works. I use it. Oh, okay, I'm glad. How do you use it? Well, at daytime, of course, you don't use the electricity. You don't need the lights or anything. And then when the evening time comes, I turn on the light, so that I could see my way to the lanterns, and I light the lanterns, and then I shut out the lights. Well, that explains why you use it like 3 minutes a day. Is that what we're talking about? Yeah, not very much. That's all. She had all the power. The source was there. I mean, wondrous power. She could have killed herself with all the power that was coming into her home. She could have lit the place up if she wanted to, but she didn't want to. It was there. It was for her to use, for her to appropriate. Could have been hers. But she didn't want any of it. She didn't need any of it. I'll use it a little dab will do you, like Brill Cream years ago. You don't remember that. But years and years ago, just a little bit. That's all I need, is a little bit of power. How much power do you need? No, bad question. I know how much power you need. How much power do you have? How much power, wondrous power, God Almighty kind of power in your life? How much power do you tap into? Oh, I'm saved, I've been born again, I think, I hope, I'm trusting, and I know that He saved me, I think, from my sin, and the line's all clogged up again, but there's a little trickle coming through, and every once in a while I feel a zunce of power, I get a shock, and usually it's at camp, and sometimes it's even at a retreat somewhere else, and in a blue moon, maybe a church, but every once in a while I get a little bit of, no, there's something better than that. And if you know Him, if you know Him, then you will know His power in your life. You'll understand that there's that constant flow, that surge of resurrection life that the Apostle Paul prays. I want to know Him, and I want to know the power of that resurrection life That's that power, that divine power that you sang about, that we've talked about. And they that know Him, and last night I'd asked, how do you know that you know Him? Because you know Bible verses? Because you know a lot in your head? How do you know that you really know Him? What does the Bible say? And I believe all over the place, the Bible says if you know Him, then what you know about Him, number one, you know His power in your life as a reality, not as a theory. And you don't even have to say, I remember when they used to talk about God's power being manifest. You don't have to go back to the good old days. The good old days could be the very current days and the future days, because God wants there to be an increase, not a going backwards. And thank God, you and I, we can tap into that wondrous power. We can turn on, if you put it that way, or if you're connected to the source, if you have a line that goes to your soul and to your heart, then you can have that opportunity today to know not just a little touch of God on my life. There used to be a lady in the church. Nothing was complete until you prayed for her. I mean, she'd come to the altar at the end of the meeting, and you know, if you were at one end of the altar, she'd go to that end, and if you moved that, she'd go to that end, until you touched her. You had to lay hands on her, and then you laid hands on her, and she went like this, or so, and then that was a good meeting. Meeting's done, complete, because she felt something. You know, there's a lot better than or feeling a little bit of a tinge, everyone. There's something better than that. There's a constant 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, not just Sunday mornings for an hour in church. Do I tap in? I'm going to try to tap into God's power right now. It doesn't work that way. You can't do that. But they that know Him, if you know Him, then you know His power. Turn in your Bible, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. There's a prayer there, and I just want to look at half of it, or some of it, that the apostle prays for Christians, the church in Ephesus. In the beginning part of the book, you know, he tells you who he's writing to, and he's writing to those that are saints, those that were called, those that were predestined to know the Lord, and he's writing to godly people, I guess you would say, at least church Christian people. And in verse 14, he begins a prayer. And he says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." And then he continues his prayer. "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Now, that's a tremendous prayer. And there are a few times in that prayer, twice, that it just clearly states there's a power. I want you to know that power. I want you to be strengthened with power, with might, by His Spirit. And it says they're in your inner being. You know, when you think of power or God's power, you think of a great, whatever, cataclysmic something or other going on. You think of blind eyes being opened, and you think of whatever, the dumb speaking and the lame walking, or you think of something supernatural, and that's correct. That's correct to think of God's power as being manifest in that way. And I think of it that way too. But before I think of it in that venue, I have to think that God's power is not primarily manifest just to heal the sick. Jesus emphasizes something a lot more than that. He says, "I want to display my power, first of all, in your inner being." Not in your eyes that are blind, not in your feet that are lame, not in your bank account that has a shortfall. I can do all that stuff. I'm okay with that because I have wondrous power. I can supply every single one of your needs. You don't have to worry about that. But what I really want to emphasize is that there's a power that I want to manifest, and that starts, first of all, I want you to know me on the inside, because as the prayer goes on, and we won't get that far, but the prayer goes on and it says, I'm going to manifest myself and do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think, according to that power that works in you. You don't got anything working in you, then there's nothing going to happen through you or by you or to you. And first of all, what God wants to do is He wants to come into your inner being, inner man, inner person. And He wants to strengthen you with might on the inside. Now, you notice the prayer begins, or Paul says, for this reason. That's how it starts. He doesn't just say, now I'm going to pray for you in Ephesus, so here goes. Dear Lord, bless them in Ephesus today and strengthen them with might by your Spirit in their inner being. But he says, for this reason. There's a reason I'm going to pray this prayer now. And then every once in a while in the Bible you find things like that, for this reason. Or you might find the word therefore. Therefore. Well, then you have to look a little bit further up into the chapter to see what the therefore is there for. What is the reason that he says, for this reason I bow my knee before whom the whole family of God in heaven and earth is named. Why? Why are you praying? What's the reason, Paul, behind this prayer? And you don't have to go that far back. You can. I believe you can go back into the third chapter, a couple paragraphs, and you can find what he's laying out, and then he breaks into this prayer. For this reason I pray. But just take the little thought that he says right before, because right before the petition, right before the prayer, right before he says, I pray that they be strengthened with might by his Spirit in their inner being for this reason. For this reason. Well, if you look at verse 13, the apostle says, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory. I don't want you to be discouraged because of my sufferings. Now, he had been going through stuff. He had been persecuted and was being persecuted, and there were hardships and problems and difficulties. And because of those problems and hardships and difficulties, the people, the Christian people in Ephesus were, it says in one translation, losing heart, or in the NIV, becoming discouraged. Now, I don't know about anybody here, and I'll be the last one probably to ever know about anybody here, but you may be this morning discouraged. You say, Pilgrim Camp, how can I be discouraged? Because when I came up, I was really looking for pots. I was hoping for pots. I was praying for pots. I was trusting the Lord for pots, and I got dishes. So maybe now, today, you're discouraged because you got dishes in the, or grounds as opposed to kitchen. Or I've got to be in that dining room. Oh, boy, the kid. I don't want to be with those kids. I got to be with the little kids, no less. They make a mess. I got to mop. I got to clean. The big kids make a bigger mess. I don't want to be there. I want to be. Grass is always greener on the other side. So wherever you are, you've got to find a reason to not like it. And then with the adults, they never leave. I mean, what are we going to do with these? We can't throw them out. They just got to endure it. And you know, you always got, and wherever we're from, wherever, and you, I'm only kidding. I hope you're not losing heart over that, please. If you're losing heart over that, then you've got issues, and we'll talk. But there are people. Maybe you got a losing heart kind of a discouraged kind of thing going on right now. You know, we get very good at being Christians. We get very good at lying. Now, Christians don't lie. Paul says that right in this book. Don't lie to each other. But did you ever have somebody come up to you, your heart's breaking, you feel like you're at the end of your rope, you're ready to quit or give up, and you go to church or wherever, and somebody says, how you doing? What is your answer? I'm fine. Wonderful. Isn't God good all the time? God's good all the time. Yeah, God's good all the time. Yeah, God's good. And you're breaking inside, you're losing heart, you're discouraged, you don't know whether or not you even want to be a Christian anymore because something or other is not working for you. Maybe it's some family problem that you're going through and you don't see an end of that family problem and you don't see a change in there and you're losing heart or you're getting discouraged. Maybe it's financial. Maybe you haven't been able to rub two nickels together for a long time, and the job that you were promised didn't come through, or the promotion you were expecting didn't happen, and you're losing heart. You're wondering about how long, Lord. And I know there are people like that. There are people like that that I minister to every single Sunday in church. They're in a discouraging situation, and some of them have been in a discouraging situation for a long time. They're in a losing heart kind of a thing. And Paul writes to people, Christian people, that were like that, and he says, I don't want you to be that way. I don't want you to lose heart. I know it's tough, and I know I'm going through, and maybe you're afraid you're going to go through, but I don't want you to lose heart. And for this reason, I'm going to pray right now for you. And I'm not going to pray that you get two nickels to rub together. And I'm not going to pray that situation changes. And I'm not going to pray that all of a sudden Brother Tom or whoever comes to you and says, you're on grounds, no longer pots. I'm not going to pray that for you. But what I am going to pray is that He strengthens you. That He strengthens you with might, wondrous power, by His Holy Spirit. Right in your inner being, and that by His wondrous power He gives you the grace to stand, and having done all, to stand. You know, that doesn't come from the external changing, because you'll always find a reason to be discouraged when you look at external. You will always find, I don't care who you are, I don't care how much money you got, I don't care how good things are going now, you'll always find a cause and a reason to look around someplace and to be discouraged. And to feel forlorn, and poor me, and they slighted me, and they didn't acknowledge me, and I don't think I can ever do it right, and I don't know, I just feel this bad thing again in my heart, and I feel a little bit down. You'll always find a reason, if you want a reason, you'll always find that, but there's strength. There's a knowing God, and they who know God are people, men and women, that in spite of the situation, they sing when the day is bright, and they also sing in the darkest night. Every day, all the way, I will sing, sing, sing. And sometimes you'd be surprised that the ones that are singing the most have the most discouraging, losing heart kind of things going on. But they found a connection. They found a link. They found a source. They found an electricity power supply. No, they found the Holy Ghost. And they found, as the Holy Ghost comes in, as we sing in one of our songs, oh, He is mine, this priceless treasure, ever blessed be His name. He has given peace, perfect peace to me. He has given joy. Joy in my heart, joy in my soul. Well, that's His kingdom. His kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And again, it's not based on what goes on the outside. It's based on what's going on this morning on the inside. Do we all have a fresh touch of God on the inside? Have we linked up with God's Spirit this morning? Has God made Himself real to your heart and to your soul? Then that's the only way that you can then be a blessing and be a channel. Lord, with Your wondrous power flowing not just in us, that's not the idea behind the wondrous power, that we could be such powerful people. No, Lord, You want that power to flow through us, that we might be a light, a blessing, a channel through which others can be lifted and strengthened. Oh, it starts on the inside. Yeah, I have, this is an old archaic one. It's not one of those fancy, but this is my cell phone. And you maybe have one of these. Now, and by the way, if you do have one of these, and during the meeting I see you, LOL, you know what I mean? I will take your cell phone and you'll see it too. And I don't have the authority to do that. I was going to say I'll take it and throw it in the lake, but I won't do that either. I just came from a youth conference at the beginning of July, this month. And I was surprised. You think Pilgrim Camp has rules? You see the rules they have there at that conference. They have rules on rules. And I was almost going to bring there, I should have maybe shown it to Brother Paul or to Brother whoever, their manual for their youth conference and how you better not do that. Well, one of the things you're not allowed to do anymore is you're not allowed to use your Bible on your iPod or whatever it might be. because they found too many of the kids are not using their Bible. You think they're reading their Bible. You think they're looking up Ephesians 3. Oh, yeah, there's 14 and 15. LOL. He thinks I'm looking at this right now, but I am not looking at this at all. How are you? You in church now, too? Yes, I'm right in church right now, and I am having a wonderful time flowing through. Here's my cell phone. Okay, it's dead. Dead. D-E-D, dead. Nothing here. Now, I can do whatever I want to this cell phone. I mean, I want to make it work. I want to call home. And so I could talk as loud as I want to. Hello? Anybody there? I could push the buttons extra hard. You ever see people do that? I mean, it's not working, and so they're going to make it work. It's like, it doesn't do anything different. You could shake it. You can do it. You know what this cell phone needs? It needs internal zunts. You know, it needs power. It needs power on the inside. Nothing you can do externally to this thing. I can change the venue. I can take it and I can bring it to a nice mountaintop and set it down there. Oh, da-da! That'll change everything, won't it? Then we'll get better reception from up there. And oh, if we just had ice cream first. Let's go have ice cream. Nothing's going to change. It needs to be hooked up. It needs power. And Christians, God's people, young or old or whoever we are, we run ourselves nuts trying to fix the inside by changing the situation on the outside. And we push the spiritual buttons harder. We shout louder, if we shout at all. We do whatever we got to do more. I'm going to go to more, it's not more meetings, and it's not more this, and it's not more that. What it requires is it requires some inner strength, some inner power. And the more power you have on the inside flowing into you, the less of a losing heart, discouraging situation you'll find yourself in, and God will be glorified. And the less power you have going on the inside, the more losing heart, discouraging situations. And there have been Christian people that maybe you know for the last 20 years, and they've been discouraged for 19 out of those 20 years because there's nothing going on the inside. They're still trying to push all the buttons on the outside, and it doesn't work, and it never will work. For this reason, Paul says, I bow my knee. And you know who I'm praying to? I'm praying to a great, big, wonderful God. I'm praying to a God, the whole family in heaven on earth is named. It's Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. I'm praying to Him. He's the creator of everything. He's so powerful, He's so vast, He's so able, He's so sufficient for every one of our needs and every one of our problems. And if you think you're losing heart because of whatever and you're discouraged because of this, and then get your eyes on Him and let Him flow into you and be strengthened with might by His Spirit in your inner being. And I tell you, I don't know where the doldrums will go, but they'll go. I don't know where the woebegone feeling and attitude will disappear to, but it'll dissipate. The things of earth will just grow strangely dim as we hook up and link to that wondrous power on the inside. You know, if you were to come over to my house, and you're all welcome to if you want to. I mean, I don't know why you'd want to, but you could if you wanted to. Unless my kids were home, you'd probably want to see my kids. But if you came to my house and you knocked on the door and I would invite you to come in, and then if I were a nice guy, I would probably say something like this, like you say when people come to your house. What do you tell people to do when they come in? There you go. Say it loud.
Make yourself at home.
Make yourself, you liar, you. You don't mean that, do you? When you tell people that, do you mean that? Make yourself at home? You mean make yourself at room. The room that I just brought you into, make yourself right here in this room. This is where you're allowed. You don't want them to make themselves at home. You want them going through your room, looking in your closets, under your bed, in your drawers. You don't want them looking. Don't make yourself at home. You're not welcome to make yourself at home. This is my home. You don't make yourself at home where I live. Make yourself at room, and maybe the bathroom if you need to, but not that bathroom, this bathroom. We got it all figured out. But we do that, I think we do that sometimes with the Lord too. You see, inner means all the way through inner. Not just this little cranny and nook and corner over here, Lord, this is your part, you come in. We sing all these, you know, into my heart, live out your life within me. And sometimes we mean, Lord, you can come into this room. This is your room, Lord. And I want you to strengthen me with might by your Spirit, but in this room only. This room's mine, that's off limits, you can't go there. Make yourself, Lord, make yourself at room in my life. And the Lord's wanting us to ask him to make himself at home. He wants to take his power, his wondrous power, and he wants to spread out that kingdom of his, that powerful, mighty kingdom. He wants to spread it out in every part of your life, every part of your heart, every part of your spirit, of your soul, of your body. What? Don't you know that you've been bought? Don't you know that you've been bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your arms. Oh, no, in your feet. No, glorify God in your body. Which part? The whole part. And in your soul. But which part of my soul? Your whole soul. Your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. Lord, take your power and reign in me. That's what it means when we say he's the Lord of my life. And his name is Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just Jesus, my deliverer. Oh, I'm in a pinch now. Jesus! Oh, according to your wonders, Jesus! Come now, Jesus. I need you. Rub the lamp there. Jesus, now do what I tell you to do, Jesus. No, not there. Right here. This is what I need. I need it now. And he's saying, I'm not here to just patch up your externals. I'm not just here to make your life pleasant and nice and make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. I'm here to live out my life inside of you. And I'm here for, as was said, I'm here to displace you so that you be me and I be you. First song I heard played last night at the organ when I came into the meeting was, Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me. But what part of me? Spirit, soul, and body. Lord, here I am. You possess me. You take me as I am and make me what you want me to be. In my body, in my soul, and in my spirit, no matter what it costs, for Jesus' sake. And his power can make you what you ought to be. His power lived out in your life will transform you from the inside out. And he's looking. He's still looking for people, for men and women and boys and girls who will welcome him, who will welcome him. And I believe that you could know that you know him. If you can look at your life and you can say, well, you know, I used to have a daily bout or a weekly or a monthly. Not everybody, I guess everybody, maybe not everybody, but many people have trials and bad days and times of discouragement maybe that you go through. But I don't believe that that's supposed to be the normal for a Christian. I believe we're supposed to be able to live a supernatural life no matter what. Though Satan's darts at me are hurled, for faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. So Lord, lift me up and live out your life in me. Was it John that prayed, Lord, you have to increase. It has to be more of you. More of you where? What do you mean more? Oh, you have to displace me. I have to decrease. And I need more of yourself. Because the more of you that I find in me, the less of me that I'll find, and the less of me that I find, the less discouragement and troubles and losing heart there'll be. And the more ability there will be to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And so my desire for myself is, Lord, take your wondrous power and flow through me. Lord, less of myself. Lord, displace me. Remember, some of you remember, I'm sure, better than I, Sister Robinson's words, where she got to a place in her life where she asked the Lord. She said, Lord, you're here. You're here, Lord. But, Lord, where am I? Where did I go? That's a wonderful place to get to. I don't know that I am there yet. I'm wanting to be one day and trusting that God will help me. But, Lord, where did I go? Where am I? Jesus, it's just you. All your wondrous power. And you think, well, that's Sister Robinson. I mean, you know, come on. No, that's for every one of us. We can enter in. We can enter in more fully to this prayer that the apostle prays for the Ephesians. For this reason I bow my knee, that you be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner being. Lord, we pray this morning that you will strengthen every one of us who are here, young or old, staff or guest. Lord, it's your desire that we know you, and we all can, from the least to the greatest. In Lord Jesus, we pray, oh Lord, we pray that you will come to us today, and that, Lord, today we will know you better. We all can. I think we agreed on that yesterday. We all know you in a measure, but Lord, there's more yet before us. There's more of your saving fullness. There's more of Christ, oh Lord, more ground to lay claim to, till we get to that place where we're wholly lost in thee. Sweet will of God, still fold us closer. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll do that in everyone here. And Lord, perhaps there's someone in this meeting today that has invited you into the room of their heart, or the room in their life, the God room, that little vacuum room that only you can fill. And we've asked you to come into that room, and Lord, hang around in there, and we'll call you when we need you, and you better answer when we call. But Lord, you're not interested in a room in our lives. You're interested in being Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of all. And Lord, if we're holding back, if we're not surrendering everything, if we're not strengthened inwardly because we don't let you strengthen us inwardly, Lord, we would open up every door. Lord, we would open up every closet, every window, and Lord, we would say, come on, Lord, come in thy fullness, Lord, come in, channels only, blessed Master, come in all your wondrous power, and flow through us every single day and every single hour. Lord, I pray, God, I pray that there will be those here today that would just open up another area, open up another door, open another place into their heart, into their soul, where the King of Glory can come in. Who is this King of Glory? Oh, he's the Lord, strong and mighty in battle. He is the King of Glory. Lift up your head, O ye gate, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Oh, Lord, come and take your rightful place on the throne of our hearts and reign over all our will and affections victorious, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.